In a moment, I'm going to ask you all to stand with me while we read God's Word. But before I do, I want to preface the passage we're going to read with this statement. I believe it's one of the most significant passages in all of Scripture. It takes place just hours after Jesus steps forth from the tomb. It is an event of miraculous power that takes place post-resurrection. It is after the submission in Gethsemane. It is after the wounding, the bruising, the chastising, and the whipping. It's after the piercing. It's after the forsaking. It's after the committing of His Spirit. It's after He had left all that He was and all that He stood for and all that He would be and committed it all into the hands of His Father. And it's after the darkness of the tomb. It's after the trembling of the ground beneath them. It's after the resurrection. It's after the Son of Man stepped forth as conqueror of sin, hell, and the grave. Stand with me. Our text comes from Luke chapter 24. That very day, two of them were going into a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing Him. And He said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you talk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And He said to them, "What things?" And they said to Him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in word and deed before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered Him up to be condemned to death and crucified Him. But we had hoped that He was the one to redeem Israel. And yes, besides all this, it is now the third day since all these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find His body, they came back saying they had even seen a vision of angels who had said He was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but Him they did not see. And He said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into His glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He interpreted to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if He were going farther, but they urged Him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So He went in to stay with them. And when He was at table with them, He took the bread, and blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized Him, and He vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did our hearts not burn within us while He talked to us on the road, while He opened to us the Scripture?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those that were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how He was known to them in the breaking of the bread." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for preparing us for Your message today. Thank You for moving within us by Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask you today, as Moses asked when he spoke to the people of Israel, when he wrote the song that you had given him, I ask that my words may drop as rain, that my speech might distill as the morning dew, and that my words might be like gentle rain on tender grass and as fine showers upon the herbs, that I might, by the power of your Holy Spirit, proclaim the name of the Lord. Father, take a coal from off your altar. Touch my lips. Cleanse this vessel. Purify my heart, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. It's about 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Luke specifically states the distance, 60 stadia, 60 furlongs. It's northwest of Jerusalem. It's a left-hand turn off of that main road to head farther downhill towards a little town that has warm baths. There were two walking on the road. They were talking about what had happened on the weekend. Their minds were reeling. Their eyes were swollen. Their hearts were broken. Their master, the one they loved, was gone. They don't even notice the stranger that is following them. There's some dispute among scholars as to who they were. Well, at least one of them. Luke gives his name, Cleopas. But the other one, we don't know who he was. Lots of people have speculated. Some think it was the other Mary that stood at the foot of the cross with Jesus' mother and Salome. In fact, John in his gospel, in chapter 19, verse 25, says, "But standing by the cross were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas." I have no idea who the other disciple was, but it is possible, and since they lived in Emmaus, they would have not been able to have traveled on the Lord's Day, so they would have been traveling on the first day of the week because of Levitical law. If she was traveling with him, she was an eyewitness. She had watched Christ die. She would have helped Joseph of Arimathea take the body down off the cross, wash it, and wrap it, and place it in the tomb. There's another possibility. It might have been Luke, the man who wrote this gospel. He describes what takes place on this road in finite detail, almost as though he was there. But I have no idea who that other disciple was. And I think there's a reason why we don't. I think there's a specific reason why the Holy Spirit, as he prompted Luke to write this, he did not disclose who the other disciple was. But for us, it's mid-afternoon. We've just left Jerusalem. We're just a few minutes outside the city gates. There are thousands of people on that road. They have all been in Jerusalem for the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. As we approach the Y in the road, we've made this trip hundreds of times, we look back over our shoulder and we see someone following behind us. Not very far away, just about from here to the doorway. The road narrows as we make that turn, and we keep on talking. I want to share with you what I think that conversation was about. The whole sky had turned black with darkness. Yes, the sun had been blotted out. There had been 2 earthquakes in 3 days. No, I wasn't there when he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What was it the centurion said? "Surely, This had to be the Son of God. Everyone in Jerusalem was talking about a veil that had been torn from top to bottom in the Holy of Holies. This was front page news in Jerusalem. Yes, there had been a company of soldiers in front of the tomb. Yes, they had all been paralyzed as the ground shook. Yes, women had arrived there before dawn and found the stone rolled away. We glance back now, and he's just a few steps behind us. We don't want to be rude, so we step a little bit apart from each other. And that stranger steps in between us and begins to walk along and match our stride. Cleopas doesn't let up. Listen, John said the clothes, the burial clothes, were laying right where they had placed him. The napkin was folded and off to the side. Can you believe it? People who were dead for years had come out of their graves and are walking around in Jerusalem. What was it the woman had said who first arrived and looked in the tomb and there were two men sitting there in glistening white robes? What was it? Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. And with that, the stranger breaks into the conversation. What is this conversation that you all are talking about as you go along the road? It stops them dead in their tracks. Sadness has filled their hearts. They are, for a moment, speechless. Cleopas breaks the silence. Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these last few days? And that stranger stands there looking at them and says two words. What things? What things? They can't stand it. It pours out of them. Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him, but we had hoped that he was the one. Can you hear the desperation? The absolute hopelessness within them. And the stranger speaks, O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You guys know that I have said over and over again, I wished that I could have been on this road, that I could have heard this next part of the conversation, that when I get to heaven, one of the things I want Jesus to do is just walk along one of the streets of glory and say to me what he said to them. Think about what happens next. Think about the fact that this is post-resurrection. This is after Jesus Christ has walked out of the tomb. We are in the new covenant. What Jesus begins to tell them about himself is from the Old Testament, from Moses and the prophets. Because the New Testament has not been written yet. The New Covenant is less than 12 hours old. Jesus has only been out of the grave since dawn. But watch what he does here. Listen to what he says and grasp how he reveals himself to them. In their darkest hour, when they think all hope is lost, this stranger does not give them anything new to believe. He reminds them of what they already have. He takes what they can hold in their hands, what they can see with their eyes, and what they can speak with their lips, and he gives it back to them. And he explains it to them like they have never heard it before. He takes each passage of Scripture that they have held dear for all of their lives, looking for the Messiah, and he reveals its true meaning. He begins with Moses. He takes verses like the one found in Deuteronomy 23 that I prayed from just a few moments ago when I asked God to bless this message to our hearts. Listen to what it says. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. May my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, like gentle rain upon the tender grass, and like showers upon the herb, for I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock, his work is perfect. This stranger said to them, this Christ is the rock, and his way is perfect. His teaching is as the rain. His speech is as the dew. His voice is like gentle rain on tender grass. He's talking to them in the third person. He's laying out for them what the Scripture says about him. He whispered gently to them. They walked, they talked, they listened to the melody of his voice as he walked them through the Scripture. He takes the law. He takes it and he reveals to them in it his love for them. He speaks to them of the one that David called the king. The one that the psalmist wrote, he is fairer than all the children of men. The one that Solomon said, he is the sweet rose of Sharon and altogether lovely. The one whom Isaiah called a child king, a son given, upon whose shoulders all government would rest. The one called counselor, everlasting father, and prince of peace. The one Jeremiah called the branch of righteousness. The one Ezekiel named the plant of renown. The one Daniel saw as the stone cut without hands, smiting the image, becoming a mountain, and filling the whole earth. They had told him, we had hoped he was the one. And as he walked, and as he talked, time after time, quietly, gently, he laid it out for them. He is the one Hosea saw growing as the lily. He's the one Joel called the hope of his people. The one Amos saw as a plowman overtaking the reaper and as the treader of grapes and him that soweth seed. The one Obadiah called the deliverance upon Mount Zion. The one Nahum saw high upon the mountains publishing grace. With tender kindness, he who knew no sin explained that he was the anointed one that Habakkuk had seen going forth for salvation. He was the one who had taken what Zephaniah saw and made it clear to all of Israel. He looked at them. And he said, the Christ is the true Zerubbabel that Haggai prophesied would rebuild the city of God forever. And as the sun set and they drew near to that little town of Emmaus, he told them that the one they had wept for on Friday and Saturday was the real dawn of today, when the holiness of the Lord would be upon the bells of the horses, as Zechariah had foretold. Old Testament prophets proclaiming in words they knew and understood who he was, and he underscored it for them again and again. It took less than 2 hours to make the trip. He walked along beside them. He spoke to them, and their hearts burned within them as they stood in front of that little house. He made to go farther, and with a voice as gentle as softly falling rain, he filled their hearts with hope that less than 2 hours before had been shattered and broken because of their slowness to believe. And I can hear him ever so softly say these words, "Gentlemen, I need to go on. But before I go, I need to tell you this. He whom you hoped would be the one is the one Malachi dreamed of. He is the refiner's fire. He is the fuller's soap. He is the sun of righteousness, and he has risen with healing in his wings." Is it any wonder that they ask him to stay? Any wonder that they didn't want him to go on? They had been broken, crushed, without hope, and in less than 2 hours, he had restored what had been lost. He had hunted them down to walk with them. They still didn't know who he was. They just knew that they felt different than they had felt before. So they asked this stranger to come into their house and sit down at their table. And he did. He had walked with them. He had talked with them. He had answered all their questions. And he had explained it in a way that they could understand. And as they sat there at that table, just 7 miles from Jerusalem, and the sun dipped below the horizon, the Savior of the world, sitting as a guest in their home, picked up a loaf of bread, and when he did, he became the host. He was no longer the guest. Suddenly, he was in complete control. That's what it says. He took the bread. He blessed it. He broke it. If I come to your house, I don't go get the food and put it on the table. I wait. He walked in. He sat down. He picked up the bread. He prayed over it. And then he broke it. It thrills me every time I read this, because it wasn't the words he had spoken. It wasn't the prayer that he prayed to bless the food. It was the humanity of the way he tore the bread that they had seen over and over again, and suddenly they knew. And as he vanished from their sight, they realized that the one they had hoped would redeem them had already done what they had hoped for. It was over. They were redeemed. He was risen. He was Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and he was alive. Let's bow our heads. I would challenge each one of us today by saying this. We live post-resurrection, and every one of us walk the road to Emmaus. I don't know where you are along the road. I don't know if you're just outside Jerusalem or if you're halfway down the road. I don't know if you're at the beginning without hope or you're at the point where your heart burns within you as you hear the words he speaks. You might be just like one of them. They hadn't lost their faith in him. They hadn't lost their love for him. Their hope was dashed. They believed in him, but they had lost their confidence in his ability to do what they thought he was going to do. And I would beg you today to listen to his voice, gentle as rain, like the dew on the grass. He'll walk with you. He'll talk with you. He'll reveal himself to you. He will track you down if you'll let him. Think about how different this story would be if they had not asked him to come in their house. I'm not talking just about salvation here, guys. I'm talking about men who were his disciples, women who were his disciples. They knew him. They had been with him. They had walked with him. They had talked with him. They had seen him do miracles. They had heard him teach and preach. But if they had not asked him to dwell with them, they would have never known he was risen. Let the Holy Spirit burn in your heart today. Let him dine with you.